Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Yoram Goldar, and today we're Zichu Baba Kama Daf Samach Av, the sixth parak HaKoines. The sixth parak has been generously sponsored by the Klein family as a schus for Refuah Shlema for Gittel Zissel Bas Rachel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next mission states, Avra Gadashu Gavod Daud Amos. If a fire which one lit in his own property crossed a wall four amos high, or Derech HaRabim, or Nar, or a public road, or a river, Pater, he's exempt. The Gemara explains that this reflects Rabbi Eliezer's opinion in the next Mishnah, that a space the width of a public road, meaning 16 amos, is a sufficient barrier for exemption on a fire. Rav says this exemption only applies b'kolachas, with a rising fire, of b'nichvefes, but regarding a bent fire, meaning bent by the wind, afil ad mea amachayv, he's liable even up to 100 amos. Shmuel says, masnisim b'nichvefes, the exemption of our Mishnah refers to a bent fire, of b'kolachas, afil koshu pater, but regarding a rising fire, even with a minimal barrier, he's exempt. A brisa supports Rav's view. Pointing me to the next Mishnah states, Hamadrich betok shalah, if one lights a fire within his own property, ad kama tavor hadleika, until how far is the fire expected to pass? Four opinions are recorded. The first, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, half of a base core. Number two, Rabbi Yezir says, 16 amos, the width of Rishus HaRabim, the opinion quoted in the previous Mishnah. Number three, Rabbi Akiva says, 50 amos. And number four, Rabbi Shimon says, based on a pasuk, hakol lefi hadleika, it all depends on the fire. The Gemara assumes Rabbi Shimon means he's liable no matter how far the fire traveled. Now this contradicts his ruling in another Mishnah, which requires an oven built into one's house to have four amos of space above it, and an upper story must have three tefachim of plaster underneath. The Tanakhama says he would still be chai for any damages, but Rabbi Shimon says, these measurements were only said such that if it damaged, he's pater. Rather, Rabbi Shimon has explained, it all depends on the height of the fire, which determines how far the fire is expected to travel. Shmuel says, halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. And pointing with him, the next Mishnah teaches that if one burned a pile of barley, and there were kalim inside, Rabbi Yehuda says he pays for them, and the Chachamim say he only pays for the space as if it was barley. The Mishnah concludes that if one sets fire to someone's large tower and lit the fire in the victim's property, the Chachamim agree he pays for hidden items. Shekhen derech bnei adam haniach b'batim, because it's the way of people to put things in houses. Rav Kahana suggests this machlokes is only where one lit a fire in his own property and it spread. But if he lit it in someone else's property, all would agree he pays for hidden items. Rava disproves this from the final clause of the Mishnah and says they argue about both cases. Where one set a fire in his property, the Chachamim say he's pater on all hidden items. Where he lit in another person's property, Rabbi Yehuda holds him liable even for an arniki, a purse, not commonly hidden grain. And the Chachamim say kalim shedarchen l'hatim v'gadish, for kalim commonly hidden in a grain pile, such as threshing tools, he's chayev, but not for items not commonly hidden there. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Avro gadashu gavod dalad amos, if a fire, which one lit in his own property across the wall, four amos high, or derech harabim, or nahar, or a public road, or a river, pater, he's exempt. The Gemara explains that this reflects Rabbi Eliezer's opinion in the next Mishnah, that a space the width of a public road, meaning 16 amos, is a sufficient barrier for exemption on a fire. Rav says this exemption only applies b'kolachas, with a rising fire, of b'nichvefes, but regarding a bent fire, meaning bent by the wind, afil ad mea amachayv, he's liable even up to 100 amos. Shmuel says, masnisim b'nichvefes, the exemption of our mission refers to a bent fire, of b'kolachas, afil koshu pater, but regarding a rising fire, even with a minimal barrier, he's exempt. A brisa supports Rav's view. Pointing me to the next Mishnah states, Hamadrich betok shalah, if one lights a fire within his own property, ad kama tavor hadleika, until how far is the fire expected to pass? Four opinions are recorded. The first, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, half of a base core. Number two, Rabbi Yehuda says, 16 amos, the width of Rishus HaRabim, the opinion quoted in the previous Mishnah. Number three, Rabbi Akiva says, 50 amos. And number four, Rabbi Shimon says, based on a pasuk, hakol lefi hadleika, it all depends on the fire. The Gemara assumes Rabbi Shimon means he's liable no matter how far the fire traveled. Now this contradicts his ruling in another Mishnah, which requires an oven built into one's house to have four amos of space above it, and an upper story must have three tefachim of plaster underneath. The Tanakhama says he would still be chai for any damages, but Rabbi Shimon says, these measurements were only said such that if it damaged, he's pater. Rather, Rabbi Shimon has explained, it all depends on the height of the fire, which determines how far the fire is expected to travel. Shmuel says, halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. And pointing with him, the next Mishnah teaches that if one burned a pile of barley, and there were kalim inside, Rabbi Yehuda says he pays for them, and the Chachamim say he only pays for the space as if it was barley. The Mishnah concludes that if one sets fire to someone's large tower and lit the fire in the victim's property, the Chachamim agree he pays for hidden items. Shekhen derech bnei adam haniach b'batim, because it's the way of people to put things in houses. Rav Kahana suggests this machlokes is only where one lit a fire in his own property and it spread. But if he lit it in someone else's property, all would agree he pays for hidden items. Rava disproves this from the final clause of the Mishnah and says they argue about both cases. Where one set a fire in his property, the Chachamim say he's pater on all hidden items. Where he lit in another person's property, Rav Yehuda holds him liable even for an arnike, a purse, not commonly hidden grain. And the Chachamim say kelim shedarchen l'chatim magadish, for kelim commonly hidden in a grain pile, such as threshing tools, he's chayev, but not for items not commonly hidden there. All right, so now we get our siman daf samach off, and our standard siman is a saw, and we often have a magician doing the saw a person in half trick in the siman's ear goes. The magician practicing his saw a person in half while lighting the box on fire trick, who was terrified when the fire got out of control and got bent by wind and crossed over his 4-amah-high wall, had called the Hakol Afi HaDleika fire department to come. But they were busy telling an arsonist who lit someone's pile of grain on fire that he was chayav to pay for the burned threshing tools that had been hidden there, but not for the burned purse. Once again, in slow motion. The magician practicing his saw a person in half while lighting the box on fire trick saw a person in half. That must be on daf samach off. Saw. The magician practicing his saw a person in half while lighting the box on fire trick, who was terrified when the fire got out of control and got bent by wind and crossed over his 4-amah-high wall, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Avra gadar shehu gavod dalad amos, if a fire which one lit on his own property crossed a wall 4 amos high, or derech harabim, or nahar, or a public road, or a river, pater, he's exempt. There's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel whether the exemption applies to a kalachas, a rising fire, or to a nikfefes, a bent fire, referring to a fire bent by the wind. So the magician practicing his saw a person in half while lighting the box on fire trick, who was terrified when the fire got out of control and got bent by wind and crossed over his 4-amah-high wall, had called the Hakol Afi HaDleika fire department to come, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, HaMadlich Matoch Shalo, if one lights a fire within his own property, Ad Kama Tavor HaDleika, until how far is the fire expected to pass? 4 opinions are recorded, the fourth one being Rabbi Shimon, who says, Hakol Afi HaDleika, it all depends on the fire, which is explained to mean Hakol Afi Gova HaDleika, it all depends on the height of the fire, which determines how far the fire is expected to travel. Shmuel says, the halakha is like Rabbi Shimon. So the magician practicing his saw a person in half while lighting the box on fire trick, who was terrified when the fire got out of control and got bent by wind and crossed over his 4-amah-high wall, had called the Hakol Afi HaDleika fire department to come. But they were busy telling an arsonist who lit someone's pile of grain on fire that he was chayav to pay for the burned threshing tools that had been hidden there, but not for the burned purse. Which reminds us, where one set a fire in his property, the Chachamim say he's pater on all hidden items. Where he lit in another person's property, Rav Yehuda holds him liable even for an arnike, a purse, not commonly hidden in grain. And the Chachamim say, kelim shedarchen l'chatim b'gadish, for kelim commonly hidden in a grain pile, such as threshing tools, he's chayav, but not for items not commonly hidden there, such as a purse. So once again, the magician practicing his saw a person in half while lighting the box on fire trick, who was terrified when the fire got out of control and got bent by wind and crossed over his 4-amah-high wall, had called the Hakol Afi HaDleika fire department to come. But they were busy telling an arsonist who lit someone's pile of grain on fire that he was chayav to pay for the burned threshing tools that had been hidden there, but not for the burned purse. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blah Blah Chazara. Daf Nun Zayin. So the Zimmer Daf Nun Zayin is a nose, and we use a puppet with a very long nose. So here goes. The Shomer Aved who returned a lost puppet with a long nose. Lost puppet with a long nose? That must be more on Daf Nun Zayin. The Shomer Aved who returned a lost puppet with a long nose to the owner's secure garden without the owner's knowledge, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar rules, a cold Srichin Das Balim, every item being returned, such as a stolen item or a pikadon, requires the owner's awareness that it was returned. Otherwise, he's still responsible for it. Chutz, Mahashavas Aved, except for returning a lost item, which may be returned without the owner's knowledge, Shariv Sebo Torah Hashavas Harbe, because the Torah included many types of returning. So the Shomer Aved who returned a lost pup with a long nose to the owner's secure garden without the owner's knowledge, recalling that the last time he was a Shomer Aved and swore that the lost item was stolen by an armed robber, ended up making Mechayiv to pay Kefil, which reminds us, Rav Yosef said, Aton Tanis Listi Mezuyin, where one makes a claim that a lost item that he found was stolen by an armed robber, which is an onus, for which even a Shomer Sachar is pater, he pays double for falsely claiming so. Although one only pays Kefil for a claim of theft by a gunav, one who steals secretly, and not a gazal, Rosalind, one who robs openly through a forest. Rav Yosef holds that an armed robber, since he hides from people, he's classified as a ganav. So the Shomer Aved who returned a lost pup with a long nose to the owner's secure garden without the owner's knowledge, recalling that the last time he was a Shomer Aved and swore that the lost item was stolen by an armed robber, ended up making him chayev to pay kefil. Over at someone who rented a cow say he would pay for the stolen cow and not swear, knowing if the thief gets caught, he'll receive kefil. Which reminds us, if someone rented a cow and it was stolen, and instead of swearing to exempt himself, he said, "Areini mishalom ve'eini nishba, I shall pay," and not swear, and the thief was later found, mishalom tashumi kefil esocher. He pays kefil to the renter because by paying for it voluntarily, he acquires the stolen cow. Daf Nun Ches. So the simmer Daf Nun Ches is Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. So here goes. When Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, that must have been wearing Daf Nun Ches. When Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he noticed someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, which reminds us, two reasons are given as to why the concept of Mavriach Ari Menichse Chavero, chasing a lion away from someone's property, where one does not collect benefits from the property's owner because he was performing a mitzvah in protecting the property, does not apply where a sheep fell into someone's garden and the produce cushioned the fall. Number one, Mavriach Ari is done medaito knowingly, whereas the owner of the garden saved the animal from injury unknowingly. And secondly, Mavriach Ari does not suffer a loss by chasing away the lion, whereas this one suffers a loss of his produce's damage, and therefore he may collect the animal's benefit. So when Noach Goldberg the zookeeper was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he knows someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, and was now eating more produce going from one row to the next, which reminds him, was taught that if someone's animal fell into a garden and ate produce, he pays for its benefit but not the full damages. Rav Kahana says this is only true for that bed onto which it fell. Rashi explains the animal could not restrain itself from consuming that bed. Avama aruga la aruga, but if it went from one row to another row and ate there, Meshalemis Masha Hezika, it pays for what it damaged because the owner is negligent for not removing it. Rabbi Yochanan says that even if the animal went from one row to another all day, the owner would still only pay its benefit, Ashitetsi Vitaksu Ladas, until it leaves the garden and returns with the owner's knowledge. So when Noach Goldberg the zookeeper was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he noticed someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, and was now eating more produce going from one row to the next, while the homeowner was busy assessing the damage as part of a larger area of a beisa, which reminds us. The Mishnah Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis taught that where an animal damaged produce in a field, the damage is not assessed according to the value of the produce, but according to the field's loss in value. Furthermore, the assessment is not made for the specific area of damage, but as part of a greater area of a beisa of land. Rav Masna provides the source, ubir b'stei acher, and it consumes in the field of another. This teaches that they assess the damage based on another larger field. The Gemara brings different opinions as to how the price of a beisa is evaluated. Daf Nun Tes, so the simmer Daf Nun Tes is a knight. So here goes. The knight in shining armor, knight, that must be on Daf Nun Tes. The knight in shining armor who was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain, which reminds us, a Braisa Nun Ches on base discussed assessing chazis, newly sprouted grain which was eaten by one's animal. Rabbi Yosef Galili said, Nidon b'meshuyar shabo, it's judged based on what remains in the field, meaning the remaining grain is evaluated at harvest time to determine the damage of the undeveloped grain. The Chachamim say we assess the value of the land with its stalks before it was damaged and its value after its stalks were damaged. Thus, they follow the grain's current value. So the knight in shining armor was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain, didn't realize his horse was busy eating budding grapes, which would cost him more, minus the weakening of the vine, which reminds us that the Braisa taught that if an animal eats smadar, budding grapes, Rabbi Yeshua says he pays what their value would be at harvest. After the Gemara establishes that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is saying the same thing, it explains that they argue about kachash gufna, deducting the weakening of the vine, which would have occurred if the grapes had remained on the vine until harvesting, drawing nourishment from the vine. So the knight in shining armor who was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain, didn't realize his horse was busy eating budding grapes, which would cost him more, minus the weakening of the vine, because he was nervous looking at three people coming, one carrying a fire, one carrying some wood, and one carrying a bellows to fan the flame, which reminds us, if one brought wood and then another brought fire, the one who brought the fire is chayev. If another person came and fanned the fire, without which it would not have grown to a fire capable of damage, he alone is liable. If it was fanned by a wind, all of them are exempt. Daf Samach, so the similar Daf Samach is smiley face stickers. So here goes. The man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker, that must have been wearing Daf Samach, the man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker from the opposite side of the wind, so he wouldn't be chayiv, which reminds us of Brisa states that if one fanned the fire and the wind fanned it, if the person's fanning was sufficient to spread the fire, he's chayiv, but if not, he's pater. The Gemara said it should be like one who winnows on Shabbos, and the wind assists him by blowing away the chaff, where he's chayiv for being mechal Shabbos. So first three answers are given as why he's not responsible for blowing on the fire. The first one being, he fanned the fire from the opposite side as the wind, and so he did not contribute to the fire at all. Rav Ashi answers that the liability for winnowing with the assistance of wind is specific to Shabbos, the Malachas Mach Shabbos Asur Torah, where the Torah prohibited purposeful work, whereas damage inflicted through the wind is considered indirectly caused, v'gramah b'nezakim pater, and one is exempt for mere causative damage. So the man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker from the opposite side of the wind, so he wouldn't be chayiv, got caught in a storm of angry face stickers that poured down from the sky outside a house where Jews made sure not to leave the entrance, which reminds us, Rav Yosef taught a brisa about a pasuk regarding Makas Bechoros, Vatem Oseitzu Ish Mepesuk Beso Ad Boker, and you, referring to the Jews, shall not leave the entrance of the house until morning. It explains that Kevin Shenitin Reshus Lamashchis, once permission has been given to the destroying force to destroy, it doesn't distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. Therefore, Jews would be endangered if they would leave their homes. So the man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker from the opposite side of the wind, so he wouldn't be chayiv, got caught in a storm of angry face stickers that poured down from the sky outside a house where Jews made sure not to leave the entrance, while three warriors risked their lives running through them on a mission to find the psak on three shilas for their king. Which reminds us, the Gemara analyzes an incident in which David had a craving for water from Beis Lechem, which it interprets to mean that he sought the Sanhedrin's ruling on a halakha question. Three warriors risked their lives breaking the camp of the Plishtim to obtain a resolution, and David objected to their doing so. Amram discussed what his inquiry was, and three opinions are brought. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff about three warriors of David Mel who risked their lives and ran through a camp of the Plishtim to bring a shaila to the Sanhedrin? That's on Duff. Samach. Good. Number 2. Which talking about 4 cases which are put to Bedine Adam, Bechai Bedine Shemaim, one being breaking down someone's weakened wall, allowing an animal to escape? That's on Daf. Nun Vav. Good. Number 3. Which Daf do we discuss whether the exemption for a fire that crossed the barrier is with a kalachas, a rising fire, or a nikfefes, a bent fire, a fire bent by the wind? That's on Daf. Samachov. Good. Number 4. Which of the one that one is not chayiv if he fans a flame in the opposite direction of the wind? That's on Duff. Samach. Good. Number 5. Which of the one the chachamim hold that if someone lit a fire in another person's property, they're chayiv on tools that are usually placed there in a grain pile, but not for a purse? That's on Duff. Samachov. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we discuss the exemption of Mavriach Ari Menichse Chavero versus an animal falling into someone's garden? That's on daf. Nunches. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we discuss climb of sea creatures and a wagon pulled together by a goat and a fish? That's on daf. Nunhe. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn that striking an animal causing it to move is a form of Mashicha? That's on daf. Nunvav. Good. Number 9. Which of the one Rabbi Shimon holds with regard to how far a fire can travel is Hakol Fi HaDoreka? That's on Daf. Samachov. Good. And number 10. Which of the one that one who is towing Tainus Lisi Mizuyin claims that a lost object was stolen by armed robbers pays Kefil? That's on Daf. Nun Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Rumpelthor from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.